Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? A couple of things that jump out at me that are applicable to exactly what you're saying, going deeper, is she's unrecognizable because of the level of dependency that she's, who is this coming up out of the wilderness? And I think this is what God is wanting from all of us, to transfigure us, to transform us by deeper dependency. It's almost as if our countenance reflects the level of dependence on God.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour.
Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in for this week's what's going to be such a special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And in my conversation today, I have joining me a friend of mine who is a powerful preacher. He travels all over the place, just speaking to enormous amounts of people, helping them experience the presence of Holy Spirit. He's an author of many loved books that, again, just his books take you into a deeper experience of who Jesus actually is, the presence of God. And so, and his new book, which is called Opening the Divine Treasure Chest, Your Pathway into God's Presence, I have been reading it. And it's absolutely that. It contains, which we're going to have a conversation about today, it contains beautiful, powerful keys that will transform your relationship and help you go even deeper, which is the walk of his life, a deep, rich, beautiful, real, authentic relationship with Jesus. So it is my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Eric Gilmore. Eric, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I love spending time with you.
So do I, Eric. It's always like literally before we prayed, before we came live with you guys, literally, we just began to pray and the presence of Holy Spirit just began to pour out joy and his delight in us having this conversation. And yeah, thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Okay, yes. Eric, I want to ask you some of the questions because I know what you have scribed in this book is from experience. It's rich in scriptural reference, of course, and beautiful, powerful quotes from other friends of Jesus. But it is it's full of your life and the keys that you've found to be true. And I wanted to start with, I tell you, when I wrecked it, the story with you and your daughter, where you've entitled it, Here's Our Rest. And it was when your daughter was going through really, if you remember, really difficult moment, difficult experience and what happened and what you taught her. And I was crying reading it in the book because it just moved my heart so deeply. So can we start there with that story?
Yes.
Where we understand a little bit more that he is actually our rest.
Oh, I love it. You know, the whole text comes from Psalm 131, but the story that you're talking about has happened actually many times with her, especially when she was young. You know, we're called by the scriptures, we're called children, not just called to be children. We are actually labeled the children of God. Yeah. And so we have this father and child picture that the scriptures give to us that is so precious to all of us. How great of a love with which God has loved us that we would be called the children of God, born of him, yes, but also fathered and cared for by him. But also he actually has that other side as well, not just father, but he also is a nurturer as a mother. He is both of these things to us in type and shadow. And in Psalm 131, it says, my heart is not proud, my eyes not haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against its mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. But notice this picture, a weaned child resting against its mother, and the connection with quietness and composure, being collected, being settled, being still. in the arms of parental love and parental affection. So what my daughter was doing was she had lost a toy. She tore her room apart trying to find it. She couldn't find it. She was very frustrated and very tired as well. She was very young at this time. She's graduated high school now. So this is many years,
years ago.
She's probably a few years. She's probably four, three or four years old. But she came to me very frustrated. And I was just rocking in a rocking chair. I used to pray in a rocking chair back then. And I was rocking in this chair. And she came over to me. I could tell she's flustered, red cheeks, you know, tears. And I just grab her and I pick her up and I just put her head on my chest. And I just began to rock her and hold her. I was like, baby, just let me hold you for a minute. Just let me hold you. And as I held her and she let me hold her, because it's a yielding, just like Song of Solomon, let him kiss me. She yielded to my rest. And as she put her head on my chest, I was not communicating specifically to her, but I was saying so much. Or I could say it the other way. I wasn't saying anything to her, but I was communicating to her so much. And my rest passed into her. She ended up falling asleep for a second. And then when she wakes up, she totally forgot about her whole issue. She ran off and began to play again. And I saw myself in that so much. I come to God sometimes so flustered and scattered. And I come to him and this is his disposition towards me. Come here. Lay your head down. Let me hold you. And when I yield and let him hold me, his rest passes into me. And this rest causes such a disconnection from the need to know, the need to have answers, the need to have even results, the need to have something happen. I then find in him that he is everything I ever needed and everything I ever wanted. It wasn't him giving me what I needed as much as him being or revealing that he is all. And I find so much rest in him, and it's right here. And this verse, what David's talking about, it's a composed, quieted soul, mind, will, and emotions by laying upon the Lord. You know, I like to say it like this. When we rest upon his breast, we gain access to the divine treasure chest. And part of those treasures are the recognition that Jesus is everything, always, that you will ever need.
Yeah, that's just beautiful, Eric. It's beautiful. I can feel his presence. Like, it's so important to his heart that we understand what you've just shared and each one of us experiencing this. And that deep place of, like you said, stillness and rest that he wants us to live from. Do you know, it's interesting. When you spoke, then it reminded me of an experience that I had with Jesus where he said exactly that. So I was preparing to speak at a conference and all day I was listening for the message. Like, you know, as you do, I was in the scriptures and just listening what's on his heart for the people. Nothing. It's nothing. Nothing. And I got to the evening worship, nothing. And then he just spoke one word, let go. And then during the worship, he said what you've just said. He said, lean onto my chest and let go. And he appeared in the spirit in front of me. And I laid my head on his chest, Eric, exactly what you just said. Feel his presence. And as I did that, what you've just described is like my being absorbed him. It was like being taken possession of by God, and I was enveloped and filled with peace, with rest, absolute rest. And I staggered up on the platform. Wes carried me up and I sat down on the platform. And for about 45 minutes, he just spoke and it released this realm of rest and peace that healed people. And you could have heard a pin drop for the whole time. And it was what you're talking about, is that we truly access him as rest, as our rest. And his presence takes over and envelops us, like you did with your daughter. There was no longer any problem anymore because you'd absorbed the anxiety and the stress and that sense of, oh, I have to do it all on my own. And he really does want to do this, isn't he? And even like for us preaching and traveling and sharing, it's like he's so longing for us to let go and lean in. and let him take over, right? And he does the rest.
Yes.
He moves powerfully. So there was something else that just sort of like the next step on when I was reading your book from there was that I just, where you were talking about yielding, you know, this leaning in, letting go, yielding and going deeper still through yielding and adoration, I think the chapter's called. It's like another key for the deep abiding life. And I just thought that's profound. It's like, so can you talk us there? Can you share with us how we move there and what happens as we go deeper and deeper into him?
Yes, I'm going to go to a scripture that you love and know very well. And I've heard you speak on this and it is just glorious. So I shudder to even talk on the theme, but talking about this, going deeper in yielding and rest.
Yeah.
Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 5. It says, who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? A couple of things that jump out at me that are applicable to exactly what you're saying, going deeper, is she's unrecognizable because of the level of dependency that she's, who is this coming up out of the wilderness? And I think this is what God is wanting from all of us, to transfigure us, to transform us by deeper dependency. It's almost as if our countenance reflects the level of dependence on God. That's why worry is downcast, because it's not dependence on God, it's dependence on self. And so the lifter of our head, the help of our countenance, as Psalm 43 says, is this, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? And I can't help but see the connection between leaning and beloved, because beloved means one that's loved. And when we love him, we lean on him. Lovers lean. Those who don't lean don't love, and those that love lean. These two things are inseparable, because to love him is to trust him. Trust him enough to lean upon him. If that person that you're leaning on was to leave or vanish, you'd fall, because you're putting everything upon them, all your trust. And it's very similar to faith. Like, I remember Charles Spurgeon, he wrote concerning faith. He said, it's a recumbency. Faith is a recumbency. It's a leaning. It's not a question of what you can do. It's a question of what you cannot do. Or it's not what you're doing, but what you're not doing. I give it all over to you. Rest is, like you said, letting him do the rest. And so I think this is what you're talking about. And I want it more and more in my life. I want to grow in my level of dependency, which is leaning, and a transfiguration that takes place because I really trust God. You know, sometimes I think people say that they trust God and really they're saying these things that they don't really believe. And it's almost like their saying becomes a manifestation of their doubt more than actual trust that says, this is who he says he is, and I'm going to actually trust him and release myself. Like you said, a yielding. This is so important, because there's no yielding of fruit that doesn't come from yielding to God. Yeah. Yielding of fruit comes from yielding to God. And just like you said, we were talking about it earlier, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It's a yielding to his love. And this is how people experience that direct loving contact with God, is he desires to apply his love to the soul. And all those who will yield, they'll know it.
They'll know it. This is the key, isn't it? And you can feel the longing of Jesus' heart for us all to dare to step into this way of living. It really, there's an amazing scripture in Proverbs, Eric. Was it? Proverbs 3:7, I'd have to look it up. I think it is somewhere like that. And it says, wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion. You know, obviously referring to Jesus, when you adore him with undivided devotion, where you gather up all the scattered parts of our own hearts, right? And just with that single focus, you adore him. And there's something else that you share in the book that I thought, that's beautiful. And it was literally that the fact that as we adore him, it opens our spiritual eyes. Mm. As we sit there in that choice of heart, that desire of heart, you know, to go into this deeper life of yielding and letting him and letting go and trusting him. And I don't know, I feel, Eric, like he's drawing us into that transfigured state of a mature bride where everything in our life is literally about loving him and revealing his love. And it's all for him and from him. And there's nothing else. And I feel like he's drawing us to that place, you know, where together with the Holy Spirit, we're just going to go, come, Lord Jesus, because there's just nothing left in us that desires anything other than his fullness, you know? So I thought back to that point. It was like, I just thought that's profound. So adoration is a key, right? It's a huge key for us being able to spiritually awaken, be able to see him, right?
Yes, I think what you're talking about is it.
Yeah.
Adoration.
Yeah.
Is everything.
The key.
Because it puts, yes, it puts God where he belongs, and it puts us where we belong. It makes us go low and him high. Adoration is the proper perspective. It's air in the kingdom of God. It's how we breathe. It is literally opening the receptivity of the soul. As we adore him, the soul begins to open to receive. Adoration is inhaling God. It's how we live. Without, you take adoration out, and the manifestation of his presence, the sense of his presence is—it's almost like an illusion. We need him highest. That's the key. I love it so much. This is what the Father looks for in John 4. He's searching for those who adore him, because they realize him as what he really is. It is the expression of faith. True faith adores. Nobody has real faith that doesn't cause adoration. Like one guy said it like this: all true theology leads to doxology. In other words, if you really see God as he is, it should cause, oh, I worship you. Yeah. Oh, I praise you, Lord. This adoration, what you're talking about right here, is the best life.
It is.
It is the best life.
It's his design for our life. Yes.
I love it.
We drink of him. There was something else as well where you were talking about quietening down on the inside and becoming still, where all external noise ceases and internal noise ceases, and we become absolutely still. And then you articulate it so beautifully, but it's about that moment of awareness where we begin to be so centered on his presence that all of these peripheral distractions begin to detach, and we begin to re-engage in the pure quality of life of our union with him. And that's where transformation occurs, isn't it? We're in receive mode. And then you articulate some of the keys that you've found to be true in your experience about continuing to pursue deeper him, in a moving into the abiding life. So you're constantly with him. Because actually, let me just read some of them. There's some of the keys, because I thought these are profoundly helpful, because it's practical spirituality, isn't it? This is what you've done in this book, is you've shared your life journey, really, the wisdom that you have discovered through your relationship with him and your passionate pursuit of his presence and to love him above everything. But these are the how-to keys. And so there were a few that you mentioned, which was living for his presence, in his presence, and from his presence. And I just thought, man, just meditate on that for a year. Will you just speak into that a bit more? What you, because this is who you are on the inside, isn't it?
Yes. This morning, I came in here and I sat down, and that stillness that you're talking about is unattainable in multiplicity. Yeah. What that stillness is another S word: singleness. One thing, just you. There are many things going on, But stillness comes when I say, you are greater than all the things that I need, all the things that I want, all the stuff that's pressing on me. I put you above all the, that's where stillness comes in my opinion. So I had to pull my heart towards him in love and affection. And in that singleness, everything became still. And that stillness enables me to perceive his presence. And this is living for his presence. I wake up, my day today is to experience his presence. So that singleness, that stillness that you talked about is imperative. Be still and know. The knowing comes in the stillness. And so I sat in here to live from his, to live for his presence means this day is given to me for this reason. This is the purpose, to be able to live in his presence. And then in his presence is maintaining that throughout the day, being with you and enjoying you. That's the moment by moment treasure. But from his presence means what I say to others, the actions that I do, they come forth from that presence awareness. I'm going to speak to you aware of his presence. I'm going to act here aware of his presence, which is living in the moment of his presence, which comes from a heart that says, I live today for his presence, which all has to do with what you started with. Stillness of heart, which is a single eye.
Yeah. It's just, this is life-changing truth. I mean, literally, this is life-changing truth, isn't it? This is where we discover the reality of Christ in us as our consuming life. You know, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Yes. And, you know, even recently when I was filming something in the south of England, and I had a profound experience, Eric, again, where, and it was all to do with this. It's this experience where, again, I just was drawn by the Spirit of God to this place of single focus, single desire, which was, let everything I do be to reveal you, Jesus. Mm. It's just about you. I'm aware of you. I'm living in you and from you and for you, and to reveal you. And leaning into him so that that flow, so the motivation of my life entirely in everything is to reveal him, to, from that place of authentic union and sensitized connection and intimacy that you're talking about, that you live. And at that time, I don't focus on warfare, as you know, but there was a, being honest, there was a tremendous amount of warfare resisting me for what we were doing. And as I surrendered and just came to that authentic, deep place in the core of my being, Eric, of this is genuinely all I desire. And everything in me went quiet. And this is what you guys can do, is you still yourselves. All the warfare shut off. Everything, the spirit realm that was raging at me went quiet, totally quiet, and went and remained. And it was like, oh, wow. As we, there is no other ulterior motive in our heart other than him. The enemy has no agreement in us anymore. Like 101 warfare, if you want to be set free, it's that. And it's this, that's why when I'm reading your book, I'm thinking, this is a valuable treasure to the body of Christ, because you've spent time penning your interior life and then bringing it through the scripture that you love, knowing this works. This is his blueprint for our life, and it's the privilege of the intimacy that's now our forever life experience, isn't it? So, oh, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, as always, Eric.
Well, while you're talking, it's like as you're describing what's happened to you, I can feel like a drawing to the Lord. It makes me want to just run to my closet, shut the door, and just adore and linger in his presence. You carry such a manifest presence that it is entice. It's a love enticement. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Well, so do you. This is the thing, that it's passion for his presence. It's like, it's the greatest gift, isn't it? It's the greatest gift. And really, it's for all of us when we actually genuinely, even if we feel that our hearts are in a weak state, right? If we're genuinely desiring to just be sensitized to his presence all the time, and to live for him and from him, and to reveal him, our lives are transformed. He does the rest. He moves on that desire, doesn't he? And just takes possession of us and goes, right, we're going to do this. I'm taking possession of my bride who authentically loves me. But Eric, just in the few minutes that we've got left, could I ask you just to, whatever is in your spirit, pray for us, helpful, yeah, so that you guys can live this, because it's deeper than you ever have. I know many of you are, but this is our privileged life now. And I really do feel, as I'm sure you do, Eric, like there's an acceleration in the awakening of the bride right now and the maturing of the bride that's real, that's happening. And yeah, it's all about him.
There's some advice that Thich Nhat Hanh gave in his Maxims on the Spiritual Life. So those that don't know Thich Nhat Hanh, he came to the aid of Madame Guyon when she was put in prison for preaching the prayer of the heart. He came to her defense. Brilliant spiritual man. He says this: love him, and I will tell you to do no more, for all else will come by love. And I think that is such a wise piece of advice. Give him all the heart's affection, and from that place, he will then work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He keeps all those who love him. He makes all things work together for the good to those who love him. He literally cherishes and reveals himself to those who love him. In John 14, it says he reveals himself, discloses himself to those who love him. So I would look at the people in the camera and I would say to them, love him. And I will tell you to do no more, for in loving him, all else will come, or all else will come by love.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Would you pray, Eric?
I would love to. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us. We did not choose you. You chose us. And that is the display of your mercies and your grace and your kindness. We exalt you. And the character that we see revealed to us, not just in the scriptures, though we love that, but also in our personal lives, you've revealed to us the taste of your goodness. And now we see, and we ask, Lord, that every person watching, and we ourselves, me, also Liz and Holly, Lord, that we would taste again and live by the taste of your goodnesses revealed to us in the word and experienced in our lives. Lord, do this in all of us. This is the life of joy, going to God, our exceeding joy. Amen. Amen.
Oof. Amen. Get his presence.
I love being with you guys.
Oh my gosh. I love being with you too, Eric. Thank you for giving us your precious time. It's, you know, this craziness going on in the nations, isn't it? But if you actually focus on Jesus right now, it's an amazing time to be on planet Earth. It's just an amazing level of intimacy that he's drawing us into, an amazing awakened state of awareness of who we actually are, and yeah, having divine perspective. So, thank you for being with us, Eric.
Love you guys. Thanks for promoting the book as well. It means a lot.
Oh my gosh, it's an essential treasure. It will really, really enrich your life, guys. We really do recommend you get a copy of it and have the most amazing next week, going deeper and deeper into the awareness of how loved you are and being enfolded and infused with the presence of God. And I really look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
Jesus said to me, if I would create a space for him, he would come, and he has. We now have people from all over the world as part of what has now become known as the International Mentoring Community, gathering together at his feet every week, and he is moving powerfully. And I want to invite you to come on this amazing journey together with us. Come and join the IMC.